I think that's one of my favourite readings, but the next bit's the best. Next week's reading's the best. So today we're going to, instead of going into maquettes, we're going to go into Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is something that's been added onto and changed over the years. And it begs the question, is it fact or fiction? It was commemorated in Yeshua's day, but I don't believe it was commemorated with a Hanukkah. So let us now go to the story of the original Hanukkah and the reason it started and why. So as you know, Hanukkah is a time when a great miracle is in today's society is celebrated. And this miracle of Hanukkah was born in the flames of the Seleucid Greek persecution of the Jews. And the story begins during the time of the Second Temple period. After the persecution of the Jews, this happened. So it was over 100 years of benevolent rule by the Greeks, beginning with Alexander the Great. And a king named Antiochus the Fourth came into power. Now, Antiochus the Fourth changed a lot of things as far as Judaism was concerned. He was cruel. He was contemptuous, especially of religions, cultures that were not his own. Antiochus the Fourth was known as Epiphanes, or Antiochus the Fourth of Epiphanes. And he issued a series of decrees designed to eradicate the Jewish faith. Now, they've been doing that for years and they still haven't succeeded, even though the Jewish faith today is different to what it was in Yeshua's day, because it's all Talmudic. But the first round of anti-Jewish decrees went into force on the third day of Tishri, or Etanim, as the scripture refers to the seventh month of the year 168 BCE. These decrees were recorded in the first century current era document called the Scroll of Fasting. Now, they weren't recorded until after Yeshua and the temple had been destroyed. In Megillat Ta'anit, in the Talmud, if we could have that up, please, it says, on the third of Tishri, the evil Greek kingdom decreed eradication of Israel, saying to them, deny the kingdom of heaven and say, we have no portion with the God of Israel, and do not mention the name of the God of heaven on your mouths. So these initial decrees were followed with a prohibition. There were prohibitions against circumcision and observing the Shabbat. Now, 3 months later, on the 3 months later, on the 25th of Kislev, the Greeks rededicated the Jerusalem temple as a sanctuary to the sun god Apollo. And by doing that, they were sacrificing pigs on the altar. So this, of course, desecrated the altar. The high priest, so this was the straw that broke the camel's back, and that led to an uprising. The high priest at the time was Jochanan, and he tried to organize a rebellion against the Greeks while Antiochus was at war with Egypt. But most were too afraid of Antiochus's reprisals. So when the Romans spread a rumor of Antiochus the Fourth's demise in battle, the Jews began to follow Jochanan the high priest, and they revolted. So you can imagine the horror of the Jews when the rumors proved to be false and Antiochus returned. And of course, he was enraged by the Jewish rebellion, and he ordered his army to strike out against the Jews, killing thousands of them. Then a great darkness spread over the land as Antiochus the Fourth ordered a series of extremely harsh decrees against the Jewish people and their religion. All Jewish worship was forbidden under the penalty of death, including observing the Shabbat. They weren't allowed to perform Brit Milah or circumcision. That, of course, was also brought under death. And they were not allowed to abide by the Leviticus 11 laws of eating, which is now known as Kashrut. So they couldn't abide by those. Why? Because the Greeks wanted to eat the pig. And of course, they would have nothing to do with that. So no one else dared stand up to the Greeks. That is until Mattityahu. In town after town, Greek soldiers built their pagan idols and forced the Jewish inhabitants to worship them and even eat the flesh of pigs. Then they arrived in the town of Modiin. In this town, just outside Jerusalem, was an old great priest named Mattityahu. As a Hellenistic Jew approached to worship the pagan idol, Mattityahu struck him down with his sword, and the citizens of Modiin then sprung up on the soldiers, killing some and chasing the rest away. Now, these citizens were just farmers. They weren't trained soldiers at all in any way. So Mattityahu with his sons and neighbours fled to the caves of the Judean hills, knowing that the uprising would not go unanswered by Antiochus the Fourth. Word was sent out for all loyal and courageous Jews to join them. So they formed legions and would carefully leave the caves to attack the outposts of Greek and Syrian soldiers and to destroy their pagan altars. When old Mattityahu was on his deathbed, he called his sons together. He encouraged them to defend Yehovah's Torah. He asked that the tactical leader be Shimon the wise and the battle leader be Yehuda the strong. Yehuda was known as Mark Motkabi, a contraction of four words. Mika Moka, who is like you, Baalim HaShem. And that's like translated, who is like you, O God, or Yehovah. This was sung to Yehovah by Moshe and the Israelim after Yah parted Yam Suf, or the Reed Sea, giving them a safe passage and destroying the Egyptians, according to Shemot or Exodus 15:11. If we could go there, please. Next slide. Honey, next slide, please. Okay. Exodus 15:11. Who is like you, Yehovah, among the mighty? Who is like you, sublime in holiness, awesome in praises, and working wonders? So Yehuda's followers became known as the Maccabees. After 3 years of fighting, the Maccabees liberated the temple, tore down the defiled altar, and on the third anniversary of its defilement, dedicated a new one. To this name, the full name of the holiday is actually Hanukkot HaMitzbeach, dedication of the altar. Nothing to do with oil. It's to dedicate the altar. And in memory of this event, the real Hanukkah is the victory of a band of ill-equipped and untrained farmers and priests defeating a world superpower that tried to force them to eat pig, give up circumcision and the Shabbat, and forbade them to utter the name of our Heavenly Father, Yehovah. Now, 300 years, not 30 years, 300 years after the first Hanukkah, the Roman Emperor Hadrian reinstituted the anti-Jewish decrees. One Jewish leader, a Rabbi Hanina ben Teredion, was burned in the Roman fires for defying these decrees. That's according to the Talmud. He was wrapped in a Torah scroll and burned alive. Can we go to the next slide? In Avodah Zarah 17b and 18a, it says, because he used to pronounce the name the way it is written. That's the way we pronounce it. But they didn't like that. This rabbi was only one of thousands martyred by the Romans for publicly proclaiming the name of our Heavenly Father, Yehovah. Now, Hanukkah is supposed to be meant as a time of joy. The festival of Hanukkah is not commanded in the Tanakh. You won't find it there. But just like you don't find Christmas in the Kedavah HaShalakim. But there is nothing inherently wrong with it as long as you separate the fact from the fiction. In biblical terms, Hanukkah would be classified as Yom Sipkah, or a day of joy. And we find that in Bamidbar Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10 about blowing the silver trumpet. Can we go there, please? So also on your days of rejoicing, at your designated times and on Rosh Chodesh, you are bound to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. These will be your reminder before your God. I am Yehovah, your Elohim. So in modern times, the Jewish people observe a number of days of joy, such as Jerusalem Day, in commemoration of the liberation of the Holy City in 1967, and Independence Day in memory of Israel surviving an invasion by several Arab armies in 1948 and 49. Modern Israelis celebrate these days of joys every year and give honour to the miracles that our Creator bestowed upon them in those historic events. But up until the destruction of the temple in the year 70 of this current era, the people observed dozens of days of joys in honour of great events that took place in that period. These days of joys are listed in aforementioned first century document called the Megillat Ta'anin, or the Scroll of Fasting. The scroll consists of a list of dates and associates events that were observed as national days of joy. The purpose of the scroll was to instruct the people when not to fast. Because you don't fast on a day of joy. Fasting is associated with mourning and sadness, and it would not be appropriate to fast on a day of joy. So the most important day of joy listed in the Megillat Ta'anit was Nicanor Day, which commemorated the decisive battle between Yehuda the Maccabee and the Seleucid Greek general Nicanor on the 13th of Adar in 161 before this current era. It was in the year when the temple was destroyed, in the year 70 of this current era. All the days of joy were abolished, with the sole exception of the 8 days of Hanukkah. Now, what is the real miracle of Hanukkah? Today, Hanukkah is best known as a festival commemorating a miracle that supposedly happened in 165 before this current era, when the Maccabees liberated the temple from the Seleucid Greeks. According to the well-known story of the victorious Maccabees searched the temple looking for olive oil to use in the menorah, the candelabrum, according to Shemot, Exodus 27, verses 20 to 21. It says there, you are to order the people of Israel to bring you pure oil of pounded olives for the light, and keep a lamp burning continually. Aharon and his sons are to put it in the tent of meeting outside the curtain in front of the testimony, and keep it burning from evening until morning before Yehovah. This will be a permanent regulation through all generations of the people of Israel. The menorah must be lit every single day. People had been killed in the liberation of the temple, and therefore all its contents had been deemed ritually impure because the people had died in the temple. The Maccabees desperately searched for a vial of oil with its seal intact, because the seal would chill it from the ritual impurity of the dead. So this is in accordance with Numbers 19:15, where it says, every open container without a cover closely attached is unclean. According to the story, the Maccabees, now this is only a story, found a single vial of oil with the seal intact and immediately lit the menorah with this single dose of oil. Ritual purification of the dead is 7 days, a 7-day process, according to Numbers chapter 19. So they could not work on producing more oil for 7 days to produce a new pure batch until the 8th day. The miracle, we are told, was not that the single vial of oil burned for 8 days instead of one, giving the Maccabees time to prepare a new batch of ritually pure oil. Now, the problem with this wonderful miracle is that it never happened. There's no record of it happening anywhere. It is a pure work of fiction invented from when the temple was destroyed. It's not mentioned in a single source that predates the destruction of the center of the temple. To this day, the full name of the holiday, which I mentioned before, of Hanukkah, actually means dedication, is Hanukkut HaMitzbeach, which means dedication of the altar. It's got nothing to do with the menorah. After the Romans destroyed the altar in 70 of this current era, the rabbis invented the miracle of the oil to give a new significance to the festival because they no longer had a temple. Its name implies the original significance of Hanukkah was the dedication of the altar in the year 165 before this current era. And that's why Yeshua observed the Hanukkah. That's why he was seen in the temple during Hanukkah. The Seleucid Greeks had desecrated the altar in the temple by sacrificing a pig on it to the sun god Apollo. They did this on the 25th of Kislev in the year of 168 BCE. After liberating the temple on 165 BCE, the Maccabees tore down the defiled altar and built a new one. They dedicated this new altar on the 25th of Kislev, 3 years to the day it was desecrated by the Greeks. So why is Hanukkah an 8-day ceremony or 8-day holiday? Once again, historical events surrounding Hanukkah are described in two historical works called 1 Maccabees and 2 Maccabees, written shortly after the events took place. Both of these books describe the events in excruciating detail. Both books tell the story of the liberation of the temple. Neither says a single word about the alleged miracle of oil. Instead, they give 3 reasons for celebrating Hanukkah for 8 days. The first reason was a miracle that repeated itself in the days of Moshe and the second, King Shlomo. Both times are associated with 8 days of dedication. When Moshe dedicated Aharon and his sons as priests in the desert, The ceremony lasted 8 days. On the eighth and final day of the dedication, fire came out of heaven, consumed the sacrifices that Aaron and his sons offered on the altar. If we could go to the next slide, please. In Vayikra, Leviticus 9:1, it says, on the eighth day, Moshe called Aaron and his sons and the leaders of Israel. And in verse 24 of the same chapter, fire came forth from the presence of Jehovah, consuming the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they sheltered and fell on their faces. The miracle of this was that the fire was lit from above by Jehovah, nothing to do with oil. And in the next slide, please. In 2 Chronicles 7:1, when Shlomo had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Jehovah filled the house. And verse 9, on the eighth day they held a solemn assembly, having observed the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the festival for 7 days. So Yah has given us reasons for dedicating for 8 days. Nothing to do with oil. It's a period of dedication. It's a time we have to look at our own selves and rededicate ourselves to Yehovah and his son Yeshua. Each year it's a good time, as you watch those candles burn, to think upon all the wonderful things that Yah has done for you in the coming year, all the wonderful things he's done for you over the years, and rededicate yourself to him during that time. The book of 2 Maccabees explicitly mentions this as the reason for 8 days of Hanukkah. The second reason for the 8 days was a sort of second Sukkot. In Bamidbar Numbers 9, it says that if someone fails to partake of the Passover sacrifice in the first month, they can observe a second Passover in the second month. Well, the Maccabees had failed to observe Sukkot while they were fighting the Greeks. And as soon as they liberated the temple, they followed the example of Bamidbar chapter 9 and made up for this with a second Sukkot, as 2 Maccabees explains in the next slide, please. In 2 Maccabees 10:6, on the eighth day, they held a solemn assembly, having observed the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the festival for 7 days. And they celebrated it for 8 days with rejoicing in the manner of the Feast of Booths, remembering how not long before, during the Feast of Booths, they had been wandering in the mountains and caves like wild animals. Of course, Sukkot is a 7 day celebration, with the eighth day being Shemini Atzeret tacked onto the end. Hence, we get the eighth day of Sukkot and the eight days of Hanukkah. Now, the book of Maccabees 2 also gives a third and rather bizarre reason for the festival of Hanukkah. Apparently, this festival existed in some form or another going back to the time of Nehemiah, when he was known as the Feast of Fire. In 2 Maccabees explains that Nehemiah first offered sacrifices on his altar and expected a fire to come down from heaven, just as it had in the time of Moshe and Shlomo. The same miracle also happened when King David first offered sacrifices on his altar in 1 Chronicles 21:6. The next slide, please. Then David built an altar to Jehovah there, and he offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. He called on Jehovah, who answered him from heaven by fire on the altar for burnt offerings. Also, when Eliyahu rebuilt the altar on Mount Carmel in his challenge to the priests of Baal and Malachim Aleph, or 1 Kings 18:38, it says, then the fire of Jehovah fell. It consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and it licked up the water in the trench. Naturally, when no fire materialized, Nehemiah was extremely disappointed. There was a legend that the priests of the first temple hid the last burning embers of Shlomo's altar in a cave. So Nehemiah sent priests out to retrieve it. But they found after 70 years had passed that the liquid was thick. So they collected this thick oil and poured it on the altar, but nothing happened. Then suddenly it ignited, as 2 Maccabees explains in the next slide. 2 Maccabees 1:22, it says, "When this was done and some time had passed, and the sun, which had been clouded over, shone out, and a great fire blazed up so that all marveled." That was the oil that spontaneously ignited when exposed to sunlight. In 2 Maccabees 1 and verse 36, Nehemiah and all his associates called this nephthah, which means purification, but most people call it naphtha today. Naphtha was well-known naturally occurring petroleum product, but it did not normally ignite when exposed to light. This oil spontaneously igniting when exposed to sunlight gave birth to the Feast of Fire. So here are some really important points that the two the books of Maccabees give. There are three reasons for Hanukkah. One, Moshe and Shlomo's 8 days of dedications of their altars. Two, a second Sukkot. And three, Nehemiah's Festival of Fire. There's not one word in the books of Maccabee about the miracle of oil burning for 8 days. Even Josephus talks about Hanukkah and refers to it as the Festival of Lights, but says nothing about the miracle of oil burning for 8 days. In the next slide, please. Oh, you've got it there already. You're good. We celebrate this festival and call it Lights. I suppose the reason was because this liberty beyond our hopes appeared to us, and that thence was the name given to that festival. If the Festival of Lights really had something to do with 8 days of miraculous oil, wouldn't Josephus have said something? I'm sure he would have, because there was hardly anything he didn't comment on. He obviously was unaware of this reason for the festival. The story of the 8 days of miraculous oil is also missing from the Scroll of Fasting, the first century current era document that lists all the days of joys of the Jews of that time. So, saying all this, should Hanukkah be celebrated? The question is asked. It's not a mitzvot or a commandment. If you choose to celebrate Hanukkah, avoid the part that adds to Yah's Torah, specifically the blessings over the candles, which thank Yehovah for commanding us to light the candles, which is something he never commanded. We have to be careful we don't follow Orthodox Judaism and their prayers. We have to follow Yehovah and his words. So when you light your candles, and I light my candles, I love lighting the candles. I love watching them go down and see which one's going to go out first and which one isn't. And it's a joyous time. But I don't pray over them. I don't pray over the candles, because it's not a commandment to light them. It's a thing to bring you joy. Because we must be careful that we do not violate Yehovah's Torah. If we go to the next slide, please. In Devarim 4:2 it says, "In order to obey the mitzvot of Yehovah your Elohim, which I am giving you, do not add to what I am saying and do not subtract from it." If we pray over those candles, we are adding to Yehovah's word. The same commandment is repeated in Deuteronomy 12:32, some of them is chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, everything I am commanding you, you are to take care to do. Do not add to it or subtract from it. And just to make sure we get the message, a third time it's said in the Proverbs or Mishle, chapter 30 and verse 6. Don't add anything to his words or he will rebuke you and you will be found a liar. Also be sure to separate fact from fiction. Hanukkah means dedication. The full name of the holiday is Hanukkah HaMitzbeach, dedication of the altar. The Maccabees had to rededicate the temple altar that had been desecrated by the Seleucid Greeks. They celebrated this dedication for 8 days in memories of the 8 days that both Moshe and King Shlomo celebrated the dedication of the temple, of the tabernacle and the first temple. The alleged miracle of 8 days of oil was not originally part of Hanukkah and it was never commemorated by Yeshua, although he did commemorate Hanukkah. It is not mentioned in the two books of Maccabees written shortly after the events, and it was only made after the altar was destroyed by the Romans in 70 of this current era to give the holiday new purpose. The real miracle of Hanukkah is not the oil lasting for 7 days. The real miracle is the victory of these band of ill-equipped and untrained farmers and priests defeating a world superpower that had tried to force them to eat pig, give up circumcision and give up Shabbat. So as we look at Hanukkah menorah today, why not take the time to remember all those who died in centuries past in the fires of persecution for living by the word of Yehovah and proclaiming his holy name. And I can assure you that in the Middle East there are thousands of believers who have lost their lives in the past few years. I am thankful that today, despite social pressures and traditions, I am allowed to proclaim his name without fear of death, which cannot be said with so many other countries, especially those in the Middle East. We do not have a temple to dedicate, but we do have a commitment to dedicate our lives where Yah and the Ruach HaKodesh tabernacles with us. And this is the perfect time of the year to do it. Honey, could we play our Feast of Dedication song again, please? Would you like to sing that one last time for Hanukkah? I really do love that song. So I'm going to say to each of one of you before we sing that song again and before we have our Yeshua's Remembrance Service, hug Hanukkah Sameach to each and every one of you. And for those of you who can, we'd love to see you. The sun is out at the Broadwater Parklands after the service. Malachi and I will be going home to and changing cars because of all the equipment that we use here is tens of thousands of dollars worth and we don't want it left down there. So we're slipping home, driving one car in and driving the other one out. And we will meet you down there. So if we could have that song, that would be great. Okay, you want to stand up and sing it?
Make my life your temple.
Give the words up, honey.
Lord, at this season start to pull down every idol I have raised up in my heart on this high. dedication, I dedicate myself to you. Take my defiled altar, come and cleanse and come repair. So every time I falter, I can run to meet you there. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself. That illuminates the night, comes a prayer you'd kindle in me, Yeshua, a desire for your fire, for your light. Oh, make of my mortal body a house worthy of your name. Rid me of what's ungodly and every hidden thing of shame. On this Hanukkah, on this feast of dedication, I dedicate myself. And with every candle on the menorah that illuminates the night, comes my prayer you'd kindle in me, Messiah, a desire for your fire, for your love. Supply of oil, not enough to burn long, I fear. But oh, how I pray I may one day say a great miracle happened here. On this Hanukkah, on this dedication, I dedicate myself to you, my Yeshua. I dedicate myself to you.
Thank you. When you're ready, we'll go to the Shiur Remembrance Service. You can be seated.